This is a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your host, Johnny G, the number one fuckboy. Your number one fuckboy. Your number one fuckboy. Your number one cuckboy. Topical. Hey guys, joining me as always in the High and Mighty studio is my nearly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. He's crushing a Nyla bone right now, so you might actually get a little chewing in the background, which I hear people love. Also joining me in the High and Mighty studios is an actual Italian, not like the fake Guido Italian I am. And a comedian, actual stand-up comedian, actual comedian and podcast host, Julia Rossi. Thank you for joining.
Yeah. What an intro to your podcast.
Yeah, I know. Everyone, I should secretly film people watch me do that for the first time. I could often tell, like, I feel uncomfortable doing it. Like, I did not look at you while I did that.
I mean, do you have to do it? Is that what the fans want?
I honestly have no idea anymore, because I don't even think I don't want it. I don't know. Fans is such an interesting word to use with these monsters. I have no idea what they want. I clearly have no idea what society likes or wants in their podcasts. I just do this, put it up on the internet, and hope that Blue Apron likes it.
Yeah. Are they a sponsor?
Yeah, every once in a while.
Okay.
This, haven't had one in a little bit. We'll see what happens. This is my career. This is the definition of my career.
Great, this is great.
Julie and I will be talking about television as a babysitter / elementary school education.
Yeah, best friend.
Best friend is the best.
Yeah.
Third parent, or in my case, first parent.
Oh, ouch.
But before we get into that, here's a little another thing we always do on High and Mighty. Again, I have no idea if the fans like. I also don't care, to be fair, what the fans like. This is, if you rate me 5 stars on iTunes and roast me in the comments, I will read it aloud on the podcast. So here we go. This is from Jesus H. Dix. Those who can't do and can't teach. Jean Grabass's enthusiasm does not match his execution. Claims to be into fitness, weighs 300 pounds. Claims to love dogs, has a pet rat. Claims to be an actor, but the only actor I've ever seen him do is a cameo as a drunk idiot finding a corpse in fake viral video on Bones. The dead body was fake. The deadbeat persona was very, very real. At least he's had 2 podcast episodes entitled Being Fat. He's really good at that. In the words of Dr. Temperance Brennan, Angela, give it a thumbs up. I find imbeciles amusing. Okay, Jesus H. Dix.
Wait, you have a pet rat?
Yeah, I guess they mean my little Boston Terrier. Or maybe that is a little bit of fiction for the sake of the roast.
Oh.
I do like the shout out of my Bones cameo in the 15 years of me hustling trying to do comedy. I'm glad that my recent Bones cold open credit.
Nice.
That's like the shit that you do, and then you're like, that's your what your aunt sees. Did you do Bones? How come you didn't say? I'm like, you didn't watch any of my True TV channel shows.
For a very long time, a credit that people would use, even though I had other credits, mostly talking heads. I think we're both in that same category.
Lots of credits, little bit of money.
Yeah, and but I have other TV credits, and every now and then someone would use Jimmy Kimmel, and people would be like, oh, like assuming I did stand up on it. I'm like, no, I don't know why it's still out there, but in like the early 2000s, I was in a sketch, no words. I just pick up a tray of food and walk away from Mick Foley, the wrestler. I mean, I'm like a child. Like I'm like, stop it. Stop. Like it's not a credit.
Yeah, that's how I feel like when my IMDb for a long time was Late Night with Conan O'Brien, where I did 1 sketch, and then this sketch video I did with a friend called MILF Solicitors, which was like a MILF Hunters parody. So my 2 credits, like in parentheses, it would say like Conan O'Brien, comma, MILF Solicitors. I was like, I need to get more work. And I still haven't. All right. Let's see some more. Here's a quick review from the Hot Dog Whisperer. The title is Bad Job. And the comment is Step It Up. 5 stars.
Cool.
Okay. You know, simple. That's all you need. All right, here we go. Here's another quick one from Chalk Talk. John Gabris is like a fat Richard Spencer with worse ideas. Hashtag punch a fatzy. Okay.
Right.
Oh, man. Some of these just plain hurt. I love Richard Spencer's haircut, I guess is the best I could say about a modern neo-Nazi. Lock the gate. This is from Nathan the Brown. John Galadriel from The Fuzz is trying so hard to be Marc Maron, but he can't even grow a mustache. Not true. John Gimli went from making millions as an actor, just like Mark, not true, to now podcasting in his house with his cats, Arthur and Tiffany, who he married, question mark. And just like Maron, he talks about Judaism too much. Nice try, John Gandalf, but you're not Marc Maron.
Wait, what?
Wow, okay.
That one didn't make a lot of...
It didn't make a lot of sense. I do appreciate the alliteration of using three different Lord of the Rings characters whose names start with G as like a slip-up for my last name, Galadriel, Gimli, and Gandalf.
I know nothing about Lord of the Rings. Yeah, no,
you just made the face that I feel like my wife makes every time I get on one of these. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, well, see, the thing about the Fellowship is, and I just saw your eyes kind of like close, like, oh, I'll take this opportunity to long blink.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no, I just had something in my eye, and it was complete boredom.
Like when you're about to go in on, like you're about to go into a room that you have no desire to go to, you just take that split second to yourself where you're like,
yeah.
All right. Hi, yes. Mom. Mm-hmm. That's me. That's a little too personal. Guys, as always, rate me 5 stars. Roast me in the comments. See if you could do better than these schmucks. We got to have, let's see if we can get brutal. Yep. We haven't had a solid mention of my deceased father in a while, so let's get into that. Yeah, people. It's my own fault for talking way too much about my personal life. I give people the fodder they need for a roast.
The fodder that you don't have.
Hello, mother. Hello, fodder.
Wait, that was one of my best jokes ever.
I know. Good luck trying to back work that into a stand-up set.
One of these days.
That's always my thing. I'm like, oh, that was a kind of funny joke. How the hell do I... Okay, so I need the other person to say fodder and have their deceased.
Yeah. Or it could just be in the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had it. Now we did the best part about comedy and talked about it. So now it's only going to be stronger.
Only going to be stronger. I feel good.
Julia. Let's talk. John. Let's talk TV.
Ah, TV.
So when when we emailed about doing the podcast, the first thing you said was like, I could go forever on TV shows, yes. I believe, something like that. And I, too, was a child of the television generation, and I guess I'm an adult of the golden age of television generation.
Yeah, but it's different. Like, when I say that I could talk about television forever, I mean, the thing I miss was, like, sitcoms taught me all my lessons. You know, like, I learned about child molestation from Different Strokes, the episode where Dudley got touched in the bathtub at the bike shop. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
And then I learned about rape from All in the Family when Edith almost got raped. Do you remember that episode?
That one I remember, but I didn't see, like, that I saw later on in life.
Oh, yeah. I saw it as a child.
Jesus.
Yeah, and then I learned about, child abuse from my dad. And also,
moving on.
Also, no.
Hello, fodder.
Yeah, he's Italian. It's fine. And from Good Times when Janet Jackson was being hit with the iron.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I mean, like all of my none of that stuff.
I learned
fly.
About doing drugs from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah,
and Johnny Dakota or whatever his name was, the manager of Zac Attack.
Yeah, I mean, like none of this stuff would fly on television now.
Yeah, isn't it like? I guess, is it too cheesy now? I feel like there's still... I guess sitcoms can't really do stuff like that.
I don't know if it's partially too cheesy, partially, I think, like the whole PC thing.
Yeah, I feel like it would be really intense if Goldberg's had an episode where someone was molested.
But
you're like watching Modern Family and Manny's like, I don't want to go to school today.
Yeah, I mean, it was so... I learned about taking the door off your refrigerator from Punky Brewster.
Right. Well, that was like a weird thing too, where there was no like internet or like a way to disseminate information.
Yes.
So like you kind of had to go to the big three. Like... That refrigerator door thing is so specific because I remember my parents telling me about it, like, don't ever get into a fridge on the street. And then I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I was like, first of all, I am a fat child. I know I'm the only way I'm getting in a fridge is if a couple of bullies make me. And I was like, that's a major issue. And then like a couple of months later, the Punky Brewster episode aired. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, it was just all like, you know, you learn about like race relations and like the gay jokes that used to be on those sitcoms. I mean, I guess inappropriate, but also like I learned about stuff from that.
Yeah, it was, I guess they try to be a little more like less ham-fisted with their lessons in sitcoms now. Yeah. It's still like there's lessons about family. Blackish, I think, does a good job with like some serious intent. Not that I watch that much of modern sitcoms, but Blackish, I've caught a few episodes and it's like they dealt with a police shooting.
And the election and like the activism stuff. I mean, I love that, and I'm glad there's some of that, but it's not this. But it is, you're right. I think it's because of like the internet. There's also just so much quantity and not necessarily quality now, which is like, but back in the day, you know, you just had your basic,
like a TV show channels. Had to be like, we should make a stance here. We should choose to be. Yeah.
Yeah. And we didn't have cable. My town didn't get cable until I was in sixth grade.
This is Naples.
This is my mountain town. No, Belmont, Massachusetts. We didn't have cable. They didn't have cable come to town until like, I don't know what sometime in the 90s or whatever.
We were a big TV fan. We were a big TV family. Like we watched Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy. We watched Jeopardy after dinner every night. If my dad worked nights, but like the couple nights he was home.
My dad worked nights.
Oh.
What time did your dad go to work?
He left at like 1:30 and got home after midnight. He worked 3 to 11 in the city.
Oh, okay. My dad worked midnight to 8.
Oh, okay.
He was an electrical engineer on the subway system.
Oh, my dad was a lighting technician on the Fox 5 news.
Well, look at so many lights.
Yeah, look at that. A lot of lights. Hey.
Yeah, look at all these lights. I also love that you called me a real Italian.
Yeah, well, because I am half Italian, but because my last name is Gabrus. But culturally, we like were raised Italian. Like my dad doesn't know his real dad and his stepdad was German, but... no need to get it. Arthur, will you stop giving?
I kind of like it. I'm just letting the dog lick my hand.
Yeah, if you have lotion or condensation on your hand, he's going to go to town.
It's kind of nice. It's weird.
My wife lets him lick her feet, which I think is gross. But
it's fine.
Maybe I should have edited that out of the podcast. Well, sorry, Tiff.
My parents are both from Italy, and I always sort of blamed that fact on the fact that my sister and I watch so much television, because I was like, oh, they're immigrants, they don't know?
Yeah. I also think we were raised we're not talking ages on this podcast, but we were raised pre, like, the ideas of how bad TV could be.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we were raised we were raised where we just learned that smoking and drinking and driving were bad. Like, before I was born, my mom smoked during pregnancy with me, and cops would tell, like, my dad would always be like, cops used to just say like, all right, get home. like my dad's like, I'd like wrap my car around a parking meter when I was like 17. And the cop was like, there was like empty Heinekens all over the car. And the cop was like, all right, son, get home. I'll follow you. Make sure you get home safe.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's a balance, though. Like, I'm not saying I want that to happen.
We should be able to drink and drive. Let's be.
But
you should be able to get it even cheaper than an Uber pool to have a drunk person pick you up.
Yeah. Just Uber.
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 It's Uber and then a skull emoji.
Yeah, it's like you might die. But you can like follow all your friends to see how their drunk driving is going. This is horrible. But I started watching Benny Hill with my family when I was like 2. Like, I remember.
That's amazing.
And I was like such a perverted, not at 2, but like I was definitely like a perverted kid that like loved everything that had to do with like boobies. And
yeah.
But I loved Three's Company.
Oh, yeah. Three's Company was, I mean, it was like, it was a porn with like the porn edited out. You know what I mean?
It would
like
never fly today. Yeah. Those gay jokes. Never. It would never work today. I literally just talked about this I just recorded someone else's podcast this morning. And we talked about Three's Company. I want to be Mrs. Roper. Like, I am not worried about aging anymore because my dream role is to just wear a muumuu and be like, I'm horny Stanley. You know, like, that's my, or I want to be like the inappropriate mom or aunt that's wearing like a leopard print bikini.
Oh, like a Peg Bundy's type?
Yeah. Kind of like a, like the, like I want to be, someone said this to me one time and I thought it was an insult and then I realized it was, I took it as a compliment. She was like, I could see you being like a 48-year-old woman in a pool wearing like a cheetah print swimsuit being like, hello, boys. And I was like, thank you. Yeah,
I would take that as a compliment. I am I am completely unfocused on this podcast now. I'm just picturing you as like a Fran Drescher type character.
Yeah, yeah. And just being like, my husband doesn't give me what I want, you know.
I'll have another white wine as long as you're bringing him out to like some young like biracial pool boy.
Oh, yes. Which will be my son because my boyfriend is black. I don't know. How dare you bring that up? How yeah, dare you?
Well, you know, you got him the gig.
Yeah, I got him the gig. Now he's bringing wine. A very special episode about disgusting things with your fam.
And I learned about incest from Aunt Julia on the OWN network.
Oh, yeah. No, I watched so... I mean, I would rush home after school to... And there was no rules about television. I got home, I... heated up a Celeste microwave pizza, plot myself
Mama
down.
Celeste side up, you're getting a job. Mama Celeste side down, I'm getting a job. That's
wait,
from
what's that?
Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead. I don't know why that Celeste pizza is stuck in my head forever because of that.
Yeah.
They flip a pizza to decide who gets a job and Christina Applegate loses.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would heat that up and then I'd just watch... I used to watch like Santa Barbara or General Hospital soap operas.
Okay.
And then I would go right into whatever the
after school
evening. Well, after school, yeah. But then like it was the 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock thing.
Oh, yeah. Your must see TVs and whatnot. Yeah.
And then so when I was in so I went to Catholic school, kindergarten, first and second grade. And then the school closed down. And my dad was like, why the hell am I paying for private school anyways when we grew up in like a good town?
Yeah.
So I switched to third grade to public school, and I talked about TV all the time and everyone was like really weirded out. And then there was this thing we had to do where you would get like the front bulletin board, like every student would get it for like 2 weeks, and you'd do like an about me, and my entire about me was clippings from, you know, like in the newspaper you would get like the fake TV guide.
Yes that so was my, like one day's worth of TV guide.
So I mean the entire board, there was no activities, it was just like TV, and I gave this whole presentation about TV, and then the kids started to be like, hey Julia, what's on tonight? I'm like, well, 8 o'clock, okay, it's Tuesday, okay, so it's Who's the Boss, followed by and I would like tell them the TV, and they started calling me human TV guide, and I was flattered until another kid was like, Julia, you know they're making fun of you, right? And I was like, but it's so cool that I know so much about TV. And they were like,
it's gonna come in handy forever.
Yeah, I know. And they were like, so I guess they thought it was weird because I didn't like do sports or like read a book or whatever.
The look of disdain on your face during the words sports and books said a little too much.
Well, I mean, it takes what, a month to read a book? You know how many TV shows you can watch?
Yeah, fuck, dude. God help me. I wish, now that with my, Netflix lets you download stuff onto your phone now.
Really?
So you don't have to stream everything. Some stuff is available for download. And now I'm like, I watched like 12 episodes of Love on a round trip flight to New York. I'm
nice.
I'm going to be so efficient because I unfortunately consider getting things off the DVR count as getting work done.
I agree with you. But I think, well, but when you work, I haven't watched the second season of Love, so let's not talk about it yet.
No spoilers.
But it does, I mean, there's a reason why I work in TV and want to continue to work in TV and create TV. I mean, I know TV.
Right. I think, though, at some point, it's a law of diminishing returns with how much you watch. And I think it's, we are lying to ourselves. I definitely lie to myself a little bit about how important it is for me to be watching movies. And like, I'll be like watching a Steven Seagal movie on Netflix that was like straight to DVD. And I'd be like, this is important for my career.
Oh.
And I'm like shirking responsibilities, like not writing, not doing shows because I'm just fucking watching television. I'm like, okay, I break some, you know, I'm lying to myself a little bit.
So you're in a different level than I am.
You're like, I'm a functioning member of society.
Well, I have, my relationship with TV now is, it's definitely an activity that I do with my boyfriend.
Yes, that's.
So, like, I've been in LA, I live in New York, so I've been in LA for a few weeks, so I haven't had my TV space. So I've watched 2 shows in 2 weeks. Just 2 episodes. Like, I haven't even... I watched Pretty Little Lies.
Oh, okay.
Because my boyfriend and I agreed that we could watch it separately.
Big Little Lies.
Big Little Lies, sorry. Yes, yeah, Big Little Lies.
I just... Yeah, I'm all caught up on that.
It's good.
It's good. They better start... Shit better start happening soon.
Yeah. but then the rest of our programs... We're going to save up and watch. It's like a treat. Like, now I treat it like a treat at the end of the night. Like, I'll go do my spots. I usually ask if I can go up early so I can get home and watch TV. And then I get home at like 10 and I meet my boyfriend. Also, he's a comic. So he'll like be like, I'm second. I'm like, cool. I'll meet you at the apartment at 10. Just like have a LaCroix and some popcorn and like watch about 3 hours of TV. And I couldn't be happier.
I like nothing more. Like, last night, my wife and I landed flying from New York. And it was Monday, so we missed our Sunday night TV, which is always like the biggest buildup of your DVR. And we were like, all right, here's the order. Girls,
yes.
Then Big Little Lies,
yes.
Then John Oliver. And we were like, okay, we got it. And we were like on the flight home, like, oh, I can't wait to get home. And it's like the show Girls is very good. I enjoy it a lot.
The season
is excellent. The last two seasons have been fantastic. I thought it dipped for a little bit, but... That doesn't matter as much as like when it's a show we both like.
Yeah.
So there's like the energy behind watching an episode of Girls or Big Little Lies is like, we have a lot of shows we like in common, but then we definitely have some shows that I'm like sort of making us watch. And then we have some shows that she's sort of making us watch. And the energy behind like a full blown cooperative show is like we were like, hurry up, sit down, let's put on Girls.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're watching it on HBO Go. It's not like we need...
Exactly. There's no... The show that Will and I binged hard on, like, I don't think I've ever done this much of a marathon, was Peep Show.
Oh, I love Peep Show.
I had always been a little like, about British, because when people were like, the British office is better than the U.S. office. But I didn't agree. I liked the U.S. office better.
Yeah.
So that was my... Then I decided that I would feel that way about all British comedy.
Right. Did you see the U.S. office first?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it too. Yeah.
But so someone told me about Peep Show and we watched it and it was like in last winter, I think. I mean, I don't know that we left the house for a while. Like it is so fucking funny. And it was nice because we work in this industry.
Yeah.
I I'm kind of past... I mean, I still feel... I'm human, so I'll have jealousy once in a while.
But you know nobody in the show.
But I know nobody in the show. Because the problem with seeing people you know on shows... I truly am... like, the more people I see that I know, the more real things feel. It's actually not a negative feeling anymore.
Yeah.
However, sometimes it's hard if I know the person too well because I don't believe the character.
Yeah, or it takes you out of the show a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that's crazy that Joe Mandy is playing the love interest or whatever, you know?
Exactly. But with a British show, it's like, so we... That, God, Peep Show had me like... Dying.
Oh, I feel that way about Mighty Boosh. I really like Peep Show.
I've never seen Mighty Boosh.
Mighty Boosh was my favorite. They're like 15-minute episodes. They were
British?
Yeah, British comedy duo. And I turned it on and I was like, I love this show. And then I watched 4 seasons off of... I never pay for stuff. I usually am like, oh, I'll wait for it to come out this way or figure out a way to watch it. All right. I just bought all 4 seasons on iTunes. Like click, 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 click. And I just watched them all. I have them on a hard drive, and I was like, I might pull them off and rewatch them soon because it's just such a fucking...
Ooh, okay.
And I felt the same way. I was like, it's just... I had seen The British Office and some other British comedy shows, and I was a big Monty Python kid growing up, but Mighty Boosh was just so silly and so weird. I was like, holy shit, I can't believe this is a show. It feels like it's being shot in my mind. You know, it was awesome. Yeah.
Have you seen Chewing Gum? It's a British
show. No, but that's on Netflix now. People have been recommending it. Totally.
It is fucking hilarious.
Yeah. Did you see... Now we're just having the conversation we would have waiting to go up at a comedy store. Where it's just like, have you seen this? No.
Yeah.
And then until we find one we've all seen, then we can go, yeah.
Yeah, and then everyone's just slowly shutting off the podcast.
Yeah, that's fine. That's like a big theme in this show. If they're still listening now, more power to them.
Yeah.
Have you watched Fleabag?
Yes.
Of course. I feel like you would really like Fleabag based on your taste in comedy.
I appreciate that because like I had a couple of meetings I've had over the past year. The people have been like, you're writing, like they associated me with Fleabag, which I took as such a compliment.
As you should, yeah.
I'm not saying oh God, I hope that didn't sound obnoxious, but I'm like, oh, cool. It's nice when people recognize what shows you would be like a good writer for or what your style is.
Like, I believe the term people use is wheelhouse.
Yay, that shit in my wheelhouse.
Fleabag is totes in your wheelhouse.
Yeah,
totes,
love that.
Totes, wheelhousey. Yeah.
Detour.
I have not watched Detour, but I've been recommended that a few times. Yeah.
And then this, The Path?
The the Aaron Paul like cult Hulu series I have not watched. See, that's the other thing too. There's like so much, and you need to gain critical mass. You need like 15 people now to tell you that a show is really good before you can, like, if you're all like, there's like, I've wasted so many weird, like, I watched all of Sons of Anarchy, like, after it
aired.
Yeah, and I was like, this was really fun, but it got to be, like, that was our, like, popcorn, where we would be like, holy shit, we've watched 3 hours of this fucking show, and it's, like, not good.
Yeah, people are, the amount of hate, not hate, but just, like, eye-rolling when I say I've never watched Game of Thrones, I don't really like period pieces.
Yeah, even if that period is a fantastical period, it's still like...
Do you watch it?
Yeah, I love it. But I was a big fan of the books of A Song of Ice and Fire, the series before the...
Okay.
Yeah, if you can see by my bookshelves and art, I'm a little bit of a fantasy nerd. Although mostly the shit I just pointed out is a map of Long Island and pictures of myself. I'm also a raging narcissist and have an insane amount of pride for Long Island for some awful reason.
I mean, I get it. I think because I was raised on those classic things. Like, I can still watch... The Golden Girls is by far, of all the old sitcoms, the number one that still works. Because, like, I've watched old Three's Companies now as an adult, and I still, like, I enjoy seeing the outfits and the characters and, like, that kind of stuff, but it doesn't.
Golden Girls still can make you laugh.
Golden Girls still makes me cry laughing.
It's the... These women have insane timing, and the writing is very good.
And it's so infuriating that there has not been another series.
Oh, you mean Hollywood hasn't greenlit something that features three older women? Unless it's three 35-year-old women, call it Cougar Town. That's like the worst thing is like the lineage of, it goes from Golden Girls to Cougar Town. It's like, this is as old as women get now on TV.
That's
like,
why I'm not going to give up on that.
It's like beautiful 40-year-old women.
Yeah, so I'm not giving up on that dream role, even if I'm 60 and I'm in that moo-moo being like, Stanley, fuck me.
That's the problem with this business is that I keep convincing myself to stick around because I'm like, when I'm 50, I'm even more dad roles, weird uncle roles. Yeah. I guess maybe my success will come 15 years from now. It's like you could easily keep, and I said this when I was 25 about being 35. And I just keep pushing off my own success going like, soon I'll be like Kevin James type. I just like keep making up types for myself of successful people. I thought I was going to be a Seth Rogen type, but now I guess I'm more a Kevin James type as I keep getting older.
And then you're going to be like a what? What's an older?
I'm going to be like, what's his name? White Shadow, the president of SAG who just died. Ken Howard. I'm going to end up being like... I'm a Cheech Marin type by the time. What shows did you like grow up watch? Like, what was in constant? This is how much TV I watched. I had a before school TV ritual.
Oh, well, I don't know how. I mean, I think we would have like morning news on, but what was really on before? I mean, Brady Bunch was on during the day.
Yeah.
So that was great on like half days or when I was like homesick.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, I think also, I'm trying to remember because like, I think I'm I think things like Different Strokes and Facts of Life were on in syndication, right?
Yeah.
So, because when I was young, the shows I would watch at like 8 o'clock at night were like, Family Matters.
Yeah.
Golden Girls.
Golden Girls was on, but in the Family Matters block was like
Step by Step.
Step by Step.
Well, it went Family Matters, then no, I'm sorry. It went Perfect Strangers.
Oh, right.
Family Matters.
Perfect Strangers, Family Matters, and then it was Step by Step with Cody.
Wait, wasn't Step by Step at 9:30? What was at 9?
It was something. That was like pre must see TV. Was that right? Oh, Full House. Full House was in that run too, wasn't it?
Was it? No.
I thought so. I thought Full House and Family Matters were in the same block. Because I always thought that Step by Step was so similar to Full House.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and then when I know Saturday was Amen.
Oh, I never watched Amen.
Or no, 227, then Amen.
Okay.
Then Golden Girls and Empty Nest. That was my fave.
Okay, that was your fave. Because I think I was in the next round of television after that.
Okay.
Because I feel like that predates me by a little bit. Like, I was more like growing up watching Married with Children.
Oh, yeah, that was Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember
Simpsons, Herman's Head, Married with Children, yes. Like all that. Blank.
I specifically remember Married with Children was Sunday because Sunday usually was like a family day. Our family would go to the mall and the beach in the summer, the mall in the winter, yeah, and my dad would just like
preacher choir.
Yeah,
say no more.
Yeah, sit on a bench, disgruntled, while me and my sister and mom would be like shopping. And then we would usually come home, and Sunday we would have a dinner, like a big lunch dinner. So we'd eat at like 3. So by the time Married with Children was coming on, it was snack time. So I, being the young Italian that I was, I would put together an antipasto plate. I'm not even kidding. I would just like
make fresh calamari, manicotti.
Yeah, I would like get like marinated mushrooms and artichokes and like salami. Make myself a platter, grab my 2-liter bottle of 7-Up. I don't know how I wasn't an obese kid, but I just wasn't. And then I would plop down and watch Married with Children, and my dad would watch it with me, and then he'd try to eat my antipasto. I'd be like, it's mine! Like, and it was just that.
Antipasto and 7-Up to LaCroix and popcorn.
You have grown.
You went from such a little Italian peasant child to a full grown hipster white adult.
Oh, no.
LaCroix and Smart Pop? Or
I know. Once in a while, I'll get like a baguette and some olive oil and some salami, but I mean, my body can't.
We can't do it. No, you're preaching to the choir. That's like me and my wife eat like charcuterie like 5 days a week. It's like, we're gonna die.
Oh, I love it. I already know what I'm getting after this podcast. There's a bacon sandwich that I'm craving. I'm not kidding. I've been thinking about it the whole time we've been talking.
I'm getting a chicken cob salad from a local place because I need to downshift hard. I was just in Long Island for a christening while we're having insanely Italian stories. I flew back to Long Island to go to a christening, and, the after party was, of course, at an Italian restaurant on the water, which is the highest of class on Long Island. It's like, they've got great ravioli, and it's on the water.
Yeah,
that's how you know it's a classy joint. So we had all this antipasta that they put out, cold and hot antipasta, before the meal, pasta course, all the classic suburban Italian restaurant shit. But then my mom, being like, whatever you want to call her, she was like, well, was there leftover antipasta? And the guy was like, yeah, well, and she was like, well, we want it, we paid for it. So we took home like 6 containers of cold and hot antipasta.
Of course you
and
did.
Then heated it up that night like 6 hours later and ate it all. And so I am like, I can't have salted meat for like another day and a half. Yeah.
The whole like, where's the rest of our food? 100%. Also, so you call it antipasto.
Yeah.
No pasto?
No, I don't know. That's how we call it. We have like,
or that, antipasta.
Yeah. We have that weird like Italian thing where like they don't say the last syllable on a lot of the stuff.
Yeah. Because
we say
either.
Like calamar in our house and like supersad, and but we don't say salam. We say salami, but
We keep the vowel at the end of foods. My mom does shorten names all the time.
Oh,
it's really funny. Like, she'll be like, she'll be like, there's a place called Market Basket in Boston. And she'll be like, tomorrow we got to go to the Market Basket and I got to buy the, yeah. And I don't know why it makes me laugh so hard.
That's so funny.
She's like, she doesn't have time to say et.
Yeah. Twice, please. Yeah. Not in one sentence. Yeah.
Market Basket.
Yeah. We say like, we have like the mozzarella. Like, we don't say mozzarella for some reason.
That makes my skin crawl.
I don't understand why that's the way. Like, my mom is Italian. Her whole side of the family is Italian. My dad's side of the family was not. But for some reason, all these weird, my dad's side of the family was like all cooks and deli workers. So there's like a weird, that's our crossover, is cold cuts.
Yeah.
So it's like,
it brings people together.
Cold cuts is literally the thing that kept me alive. Kept my family going. Like, I've said this before and I've done it a bunch on stage, but my dad literally was like, you should make a sandwich. Make yourself a sandwich. You going out tonight? You have a quick sandwich. Coming home? Have a quick sandwich. It was just always like, eat a sandwich. And like they held Boar's Head in such high regard in our house. Like not even like fancy, like, oh, you got the gabagool and the super sauce. Like it was like my dad like was like, we got good Boar's Head ham, sliced thin, Boar's Head American cheese, sliced thick. That's all you need, you know?
Nice.
Yeah, we were such a weird Cold Cuts family.
My house had no rules about TV or food. So yeah, I remember the day that I felt shame about the antipasto was, I think I was about 12 at this, maybe 11. I think it was 11. My sister's 4 years older. She's 15. So, you know, she's a teenager now. This is when you start, if you're a girl, I really learned about math from obsessively counting calories as a teenager.
What a sad, harsh way to have to learn
right?
it. I know,
right? I was like terrible in school, but then if someone asked me what I had for breakfast, I'd be like 413 calories as I vomited
butter
it out.
Your complete breakfast. But, I got to go in the room and do cardio.
Yeah, but my sister, I remember her, because she was like, you know, becoming a teenager and like starting to care about that stuff. I had put together a huge platter of antipasto to go watch my programs. And she was like, you're gross. It was like 11 p.m.
It's funny that you were like a 80-year-old Italian housewife when you were five.
I know. I was like an 80-year-old Italian grandpa.
Yeah.
And like, she was like, I just had
sit
like,
down with grappa. And
yeah. And like, she's like, you're gross. And I just have like salami dripping on my mouth. I'm like, gross. Like,
who's gross?
And then I would go hump a beanbag chair because I was also a horny little kid. I was just such a fucking
You really
kid.
Were an old Italian man.
Oh, I was so disgusting. And I was like, why don't I have a boyfriend? And it's like, maybe because you have like
salami coming out of your mouth and beanbags falling out of your crotch.
Who doesn't want to hook up with this?
Come on, baby. I was a big before school because that was actually the time we would see my dad was in the mornings because he worked like those off hours and we didn't see him after he was gone when we came home from school. So like, you were saying like you had no rules about food and TV. We had so many rules in our house, but we were so often alone. So it was like we were like what, not Lost Boys. What's the
Latchkey Kids?
Yeah, we were Latchkey Kids. But what's the book? Oh, Lord of the Flies. We were like Lord of the Flies. Like my mom and dad would be like, "All right, mom doesn't get home till 7. Dad doesn't get home from midnight. You get home from school at 3:15. Take care of yourselves." And it would be like primal. It would be like we would eat like 6 boxes of Cheez-Its and then like watch a bunch of TV and then like set something on fire in the street. Like we were like,
oh god.
But we would watch hours of television unbroken, like foregoing homework, foregoing anything we had to do, or video games. That was like the two things. And like it just kept us out of trouble enough that my parents never fought back on TV. Yeah. They would come home and we'd be like, you know, like I remember when we got a TV in our room when we were super young. So this would be like late 80s, early 90s. It didn't have a remote. It had like a push pull start.
Yes, I had that too.
And my brother had a toy rifle by his bed that he could reach out and push the button in to shut it off when my dad got home at midnight. Like my mom would make us go to sleep at like 9 because we had school the next day.
Yeah.
And we would just watch TV with the volume super low, like just listening to it until we heard my dad's keys. So we were staying up till 12 every night.
Oh, me too. Yeah. I had a little black and white TV. We had a TV in almost every, room of the house. We had a TV on in the kitchen while we ate dinner. Because God forbid we talk. And also dinner was 7 minutes long because we'd just be like, blah, 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 you know. And Saturday nights, this is when I was real young, at 7 o'clock, I think it was 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, 7 o'clock, Solid Gold would come on.
Ooh,
I mean, I'm talking like when I was real little. And my dad would, without fail, as soon as Marilyn McCoo came on, she was like the sexy lead black dancer.
Yeah.
My supposedly, you know, interracial couples dad would get up from his seat, you know, douse his, you know, chug his house wine and then just like stand in front of the TV and be like, "Daddy, we can't see the TV." And he's like, "Oh, I love these dancers." And you're just like, "Oh God."
There's always that weird element to old racist people where they're like, "But that black chick is beautiful."
Yeah. And now I have a black boyfriend and he's like, "He's cool." I'm like, "Yeah, I know."
Guess what? A lot of them are.
Yeah. But you know, we always had the TV on. It was like what bonded us.
Yeah, we would watch Jeopardy after dinner. That was a big thing. We would try to, if a night my dad and mom were both home, we try to eat dinner at like 6:40 to be done to watch Jeopardy at 7.
Nice.
We were, you know, we were supposed to be, I was a smart kid, so that was like a good marrying where my parents felt like they were helping my life by letting us watch. Like, it was like TV that they thought was helpful. Like,
right.
Like, oh, well, we'll watch Jeopardy. That doesn't count as watching. If you're just jamming in processed frozen vegetables yeah. while you watch Jeopardy, that's like the peak of health and mental and physical yeah. health in my childhood.
Well, my mom, super overprotective, like typical Italian mom, like, you know, just very anxious. And so she loved that I liked watching TV so much because it kept me home.
Yeah, my mom was big for Joanne Valentino as well. She was huge into like, just why don't you stay home with your friends? Come on, have yeah. your friend, why don't you have your friends here so I can keep an eye on you?
And yeah.
You can't drink or you can't do blank or you can't. Yeah. yeah.
So I would stay home and I was like, cool, you know, and I would and I loved it.
I know. I love when like the living room TV got upgraded when my dad was like, I want to get a bigger TV. We were like, yes.
Yeah.
The biggest thing was we were moving the summer in between my summer in between fifth and sixth grade, which is a brutal time to move to a totally new town. And the house we were moving into had this giant cabinet TV, like one of those TVs that predates flat screen. But it was like a projection screen. So it was 40 something inches, but maybe 900 pounds. Like, it took up like a whole corner of my parents' living room. And we were moving into the house and we were like, all we cared about was how big that TV was. And my parents were like, well, you're going to go to a new school. And we were like, is that TV going to be there? To the point where my dad, like, we later learned, had to like overpay the resident. Like, there was no way they were going to take that TV with them. It was too big. But my dad still, like, because we brought it up so many times in front of the people we're buying the house from and stuff, my dad had to like overpay like $800 just to keep that TV so we could be happy. Like, and then we were like moving. We were like, yes, the big living room TV. And then it was like one of those TVs that's so hard to see when the windows are open because the sun knocks it out and it's like kind of a shitty picture, but it's huge.
I used to sit so close to the TV. Yeah, my mom would get so mad at me. The second she left the room, I'd go right back up to it.
I feel like our generation is the generation of kids who had like a piece of white tape on the floor in front of the in the playroom. In our basement where was like our playroom, we had a piece of tape that was like, you're not allowed to sit in front of it while you play video games. Because it would be like, you could only picture my wife called it out recently where I was like stoned just playing Xbox in the living room. And she's like, I don't mind that you play video games, but I cannot see that face when I walk in. Yeah. It's like just like dead-eyed, slack-jawed. I'm like, imagine you're a parent and your kid is sitting like 4 inches from a TV, just visibly melting their mind and ocular cavities.
You're currently listening to a podcast, so I'm assuming you've heard of Blue Apron. But did you know that Blue Apron has established partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers? So seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. So this is like, you know, we're getting food the ethical way. Blue Apron can be delivered to 99% of the continental U.S. and 99.5% of food deserts. God, I don't know what a food desert is, but I have no desire to live there. And because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient, there's no food waste. So they're reducing food waste, getting the food. And you guys know cooking is like a better way to eat. You know, you cook together, you build your family bonds, and it's cheaper. It comes out to like $10 a person for a delicious home-cooked meal. We got some here. Listen to some of these upcoming meals we got here. Spinach and fresh mozzarella pizza with olives, bell peppers, and ricotta salata. Sweet and sour salmon with bok choy, carrot, and ginger fried rice. And then here's one for Uncle Gabrus. Parmesan crusted chicken with creamy fettuccine and roasted broccoli. I might skip the fettuccine because I'm not really a pasta head, but that Parmesan crusted chicken sounds awesome. Guys, get yourself on Blue Apron. Trust me. Me and my wife cook some great stuff. We're still doing it. It's really great. It's less than $10 a person per meal. Trust me, the portion sizes are decent. I'm not lying. You would know I would complain about that. So check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/mighty. Three meals free with free shipping. You will love how good it feels and tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So don't wait. That's blueapron.com/mighty. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Why don't you have a website? Listen, why don't you have a website? No matter what you do, you should have a website. And you should build that website with Squarespace. It's easy. It's an all-in-one platform. It's got award-winning customer service. We're talking, you can set up your unique domain, and you can make any kind of website, photography portfolio, blog. Maybe for the younger people, a blog is like a YouTube channel, but with words instead of video. You could make a website that's just cute Boston Terriers that are humping throw pillows. I would definitely take a look at that one. Or cleavagey pictures of waitresses. No, actually, obviously everyone has to be consenting. I'm just thinking out loud about websites that might do well. Look, do yourself a favor. Use Squarespace. Make your next move. Make your next website. excuse me. Let's do it, people. I haven't had an email from a listener in a little bit with a website they made on Squarespace. I'll shout it out on the next episode. Hit me with it, highandmightypodcast@gatebris.com. Send me your website. I'll take a look at it, and I'll shout it out. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com. Enter offer code MIGHTY to get 10% off your first purchase. That's right. Start your free trial today, squarespace.com. Offer code MIGHTY, and you get 10% off your entire first purchase.
So if I'm home, I often will put on the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Not watching it, I just like the noise.
Same.
And it soothes me. It may make, like, I sometimes get a little uncomfortable when, I mean, I guess I could put on music.
Yeah.
But there's something about the TV hum that I find safe. And I think it's because TVs were on in my house all the time.
Yeah, I used to have a TV in this office that I would just put on while I quote unquote worked.
Yeah.
And then I was like, I think I have to get rid of it because I was like watching Netflix here, a TV there. Like I was just like so in over my head. I was like, get rid of the fucking TV. Because I'm the same way. Music, podcasts, I feel like I need to constantly be hearing some sort of.
Yes.
And then you live in New York City for a long time, then move to LA and it's a little quieter and you live in like the suburbs and you're like, fuck, I miss like constant chatter and racket.
Well, yeah. I can't really write with the TV on, but I do better writing at a coffee shop.
Yeah.
Because there's still that noise. Complete silence is like, but I mean, the thing I miss about TV a lot is, breaking news.
Yeah.
And specials. Remember like on was it CBS when they'd do like it'd be like a holiday episode like Charlie Brown's Christmas and they'd have that whirly rainbow thing like it was a special. And I miss that. Like I miss that you can I guess it's good that you can go back and like see that moment on SNL on your laptop, but it was so special to like gather around the TV.
Yeah, or like the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror episodes come to mind. Is like growing up a Simpsons fan, it's like this week is the Halloween episode. It's like we got to be sitting down 5 minutes before it starts. We got to be ready to go. Yeah,
it was so great. And now like I'll try to sometimes I'll put on morning TV like Today Show or whatever, and there's the TV show and then there's like scrolling news and then there's sometimes two things of scrolling news and I'm like, no. Like this isn't...
It's too much.
It's too much.
It's upsetting to like put on like a TV channel, like a show like that when they're like, it's going so fast. Like they're jamming so much into 4 hours of television for the Today Show where it's like, up next, someone's going to show us how to make pasta carbonara the healthy way using spaghetti squash. But before that... Her and her brother were raped by their teacher. And it's like, how are these? And then when the people come on, they're like, okay, cool. So show us how you make that. All right, we're running out of time.
Yes.
Okay, quick to the rape kids.
And it's like, why do they? There was a segment once, and I always wanted to do something with it, but I didn't know what. But there was truly a segment on the Today Show. It was how to get ready for a party in under 2 minutes. And I was like, dressed for a party. When the hell are you ever going to be like at home lounging? You're going to get a call that was like, quick, party, 2 minutes.
You cannot be late.
You cannot be late. And so what they did was they had like four stations set up with four regular women wearing like skin colored Spanx. So they were just like, they're vulnerable and they're like,
they're
undergarments.
Like Professor Goodbody. Sort
yeah.
of
and then on a mannequin next to them was a party outfit and they would start the clock And they had to, and so these women are just like manically like throwing on like pantyhose and like a necklace. And then the expert would come out and be like, see, what Carla did was she put on a dress, but with this statement necklace, it only took 2 seconds to add. And I was like, this isn't even, how is she an expert? This isn't like a disaster.
Also, who keeps their clothes on mannequins? This is not good training.
Yeah.
Unless you undress a woman who's standing next to you who's like, quick, put on my outfit for the party.
Yeah, and the amount of Spanx, like, constricting, body-shaping gear they all had on,
upsetting.
I'm like, well, were they just wearing that around the house when the call for the party came? You know, like, who
thank
needs-
God I'm sitting here fully nude in my... I'm ready to go. Build it piece by piece.
Oh, yeah. So weird.
That's very... one of the weirdest things I remember seeing on TV, I don't know why this matters. I watch an episode of Oprah with Guinness World Record Breakers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I saw a dude go through a glass table on a pogo stick. Like he... Oh, back it up. I'm not positive if this is even real or if I'm blending two episodes together. But this dude comes out and they're like, this is the hottest pepper in the world. And it's like, that's a Guinness. And then this guy, he has over 40 Guinness Book of Records. He has 40 world records, the most pogo sticks for the blah, blah, blah. He goes, hot pepper? It's all mind over matter, and takes a bite of the hot pepper. And then he's like, a minute later, he's like severely distraught.
Oh,
like
no.
He's like weeping and sweating, and it's like really upsetting. So they like cut to commercial. He comes back and they're all saying goodbyes or whatever. And then he comes hopping in on a pogo stick to like, and he fucking flies through the big coffee table they have
not
set
on
up.
Purpose?
I can't even imagine if it was on purpose. In hindsight, it was probably some a guy trying to attempt to make the first viral video or something like that.
Oh, and that's the other thing too, is everything's a viral video now. Like, it takes it out of the moment. I've always been so curious about those Guinness World Record things. Because again, on the Today Show, they had a girl who, I think it was jump roping. She was going to break a record and she failed. But what I didn't understand was, how do you discover, like, maybe I've broken a record.
Right,
you know, like, maybe drinking the most LaCroix in a day, maybe petting a dog for X amount of hours. Like, how does somebody come up with, like...
I think you just got to search that and then be like, I get some dude from Guinness to stand there and watch you slam LaCroix all evening.
And not pee.
Just burping and...
Yeah, it makes you think of the Brady Bunch episode where they were trying to do the seesaw Guinness World Record.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby and Cindy. And they were falling asleep on the seesaw. So good.
Growing up, and I'll use this TV as a babysitter thing to talk about my origin story as a comedian. Growing up, A&E played Evening at the Improv from 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. every morning on Channel 44 or whatever that was. And when I got a TV in my room, I wouldn't have to leave for school till 7:15. But I'd get up at 6 a.m. and watch 1 hour of rotating random stand-up comedians. And on the commercials, run and jump in the shower, come back and dry off in front of the TV. And then on the next commercial, run and eat cereal, then come running back. And I would like get ready only in commercial breaks for like an hour while I watched. And that was like junior year of high school. It wasn't even like super young.
Oh, wow.
And I just was like, I was a comedy fan, you know, I loved comedy movies, I memorized Cable Guy and all, you know, just standard young boy comedy nerd shit. But then I just watched so many different stand-ups of various skill levels, and I was like, and then my dad would be like, oh, what are you watching? I'm like, some guy named Richard Belzer. And my dad would be like, oh, the Belzer is like, he's got a big comedian, you should listen to this album. And I'd be like, you know, I just kept learning more and more. And I was just, it wasn't until I was like 25 that I was like, oh, that's probably why I got into comedy. If the first thing you do in the morning for an entire year is watch an hour of comedy.
Yeah.
Then go to school and then try to be funny and quick and class clowny. You know, it designed me as a person in that moment. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't a kid that watched. I did watch like occasionally the stand-up shows that they would have on at night. And I honestly, I don't think I've ever said this, I especially got irritated with like the women in bow ties. And I remember just thinking like stand up was, I was like, eh, like I wasn't that into
well,
it.
There's a very early case of like, not a lot of white people get to say this, but women are one of them. Like the lack of representation of like, if it's only like aggressively lesbian female, or like the sort of style of female comic style wise with like big broad shoulders and so, like, that's broad shouldered outfits, not like builds, but like that's the biggest like way to go like, well, I'm not like her at all.
Yeah, and that's how I felt as a kid. I did
luckily as a fat white guy, there's been comic representation as long as they've been recording comedy.
Yeah, but I did connect strongly to like anyone who had puppets. I mean, I did who's the guy?
Jeff Dunham?
Yeah, because he was around. He's been around forever.
I feel like he has.
Oh, I loved him as a kid. But what I got excited about more with comedy, in addition to like Three's Company, Benny Hill, 100%, was also my parents loved Rodney Dangerfield, but I really connected to the Eddie Murphy special.
Oh yeah,
because I would watch Saturday Night Live. And but I don't remember a lot, like, because it was so much. But my sister and I watched that Eddie Murphy Best of SNL tape. We had it over and over and over again. And, like, I would, so here I am, it's like, I don't know how old, whatever year it was out. I'm impersonating Eddie Murphy, impersonating James Brown.
Yeah.
So I'm this, like, tiny little girl after I had my antipasto and fucked a chair. I would go and be like, it's hot. In the hot tub.
Too hot in the hot tub.
Yeah, I'd pretend I was a black man impersonating a black man.
Oh, yeah. Good thing you didn't see Eddie Murphy Delirious when I did, when I was like 10. And I was like, Mr. T's a faggot.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Doing all these like hyper offensive bits. And like my parents are like laughing because a kid is like, I was like, oh, you don't want to get no AIDS lip. Like,
no.
I was just doing shit that I had no. And then like, I was so obsessed with Eddie when I was a kid because of that SNL special. And then that turned me on to his stand up, which were like, if you quote, I went to like my elementary school was like white people were the minority. And I like watched Eddie Murphy. And since I was a comedy nerd, I could bond with all the like cool black kids that way. And I'd be like, I knew all Eddie's material. I'd be like, Mr. G.I. Joe going underwater, try to find out where the bubble came from, you know? And they'd be like, yeah. And then in hindsight, what I'm doing is standing to a group of black kids doing a white comedian doing a black voice.
Yeah,
and I'm like, this is awful.
Well, we watched to go back to like my dad, and this is a very common thing in Italian households of like, oh, you know, there's the illusion that Italian people are racist, but it's Italian people and black people, at least I've found from my experience, lots of similarities.
Oh yeah.
And like our family's favorite shows, we loved Sanford and Son, the Jeffersons, like mm-hmm. Like, my dad is the Italian Fred Sanford, 100%. My dad, every time the bill comes, and my parents, we always go to places where my mom has a coupon, so, like, the bill for four people is $30. It's nothing, right? My dad grabs the bill every single time, and he goes, huh, Elizabeth, it's the big one, and he does the fake heart attack, and he does it every time, and so me, my sister, my mom have seen this forever, so, you know, we're like, you know, but what's great is whenever I've dated someone new, they're seeing it for the first time, so Will, again, who I mentioned, he's black, so I especially was like, oh, by the way, because he and I, my boyfriend and I really connected on TV, too,
right.
And I was like, oh, I used to watch all this black shows, all right, cool.
He's like, this is an uncomfortable.
Yeah, and I told him.
I used to love Cops.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
And I told him about I was like, you know, I warned him of the dad thing, and so sure enough, we all go out to eat, and my dad does it. I mean, you would have thought that Will was like a baby that saw, you know, like Elmo for the, like, just like he thought
lost
it was
shit.
Lost it. And then that's when my dad's like, oh, I like this guy, you know, like,
well, Will thinks I'm funny.
Yeah,
so I'm,
yeah.
Oh, that's really funny.
So cute.
Yeah. Oh, here's one last, I remember TV bonding me. Here's another story. When I was in fourth grade, this kid, Danny Tannenbaum, who I thought was like a cool kid in my class, was like, oh, he was like doing like Cornholio, you know, like,
yeah.
I need TP for my bunghole. And I was like, what is that? And he's like, have you never watched Beavis and Butthead? And I was like, no. And the name burned in my head. I was like, Beavis and Butthead is a show? And I was like, I have to watch a show. He's like, it's on MTV. I'm like, what time? He's like, I don't know. And because it was like, I was living in maybe I was in sixth grade or fifth grade, because I was living with my grandpa at the time. And I would go back to my grandpa's house, and I didn't fully understand his cable box or whatever. And I would just have MTV on. And then like I would know to like, it was the summer, like when it was the summer, it'd be like playing outside, and then like every half hour it'd be like, it could be on right now.
You didn't have a TV guide
thingy? We didn't for some there was some kind of thing where I could not figure out, like maybe MTV wasn't listed in TV guide, or like this was only for a couple of days before TV guide came. I just remember I could not figure out what time because
what
I was
kids on. Today have it so easy with their Googles.
I would just literally check the television every half hour to see, and I'd be like, Eon Flux, what's this?
Oh, you know, I hated Eon
this
Flux.
What is this? I have no idea. Music videos, boo. And then one time I caught Beavis and Butthead was the show that's when that kid Danny explained it to me. When he was just telling me about an episode, I was laughing so hard I was crying.
Yes.
And then when I finally got to see it and they're like smashing each other in the face with baseball bats, I was like, oh my God. Beavis and Butthead was like pornography to me when I was like 11. I was like, I gotta track it down.
Yeah.
And holy shit, was that
I
like,
loved it. Like I was, you know, like it's, there is, I mean, it's funny because I don't think people associate like girls with loving people. Like, I loved Beavis and Butthead. And Simpsons, I loved Simpsons when it was, I used to watch Tracy Ullman just to watch The Simpsons.
We love Tracy Ullman in our house.
I love Tracy Ullman too, but The Simpsons part was what got me.
Oh, I fucking love The Simpsons. I watched like, that was like a religion, you know, and it was on Fox, which is where my dad worked, even though my dad just did the lighting for the news. So there was like, for us kids, we were like, my dad knows The Simpsons. Like, you know, we were just like, the connection was insane. We were like, dad works at Fox. The Simpsons are on Fox.
Yeah.
It was like, so we were obsessed with The Simpsons growing up. And of course, like, talk about you learned all your life lessons from like different sitcoms. I learned what movies I needed to watch as like a little budding movie nerd from The Simpsons. Where my dad, I'd be like, Dad, what's that Bart's costume from? He's like, oh, it's from a movie called Clockwork Orange. I'm like, oh, I should check that out. I'm like, oh, I don't get it. Why is he grabbing his hat as the garage door closes? He's like, oh, it's from Indiana Jones. Like, you know, you like learn movie. I'm like, oh, and there was a period of time when I only knew movies from that were referenced from, like, I only like, yes, I guess I know that only because of the Simpsons. Like, Soylent Green is people, like, I only know from like a Simpsons episode until I eventually got old enough. My dad's like, yeah, you got to see it. It's Charlton Heston, blah, blah, blah. So, like, I learned everything from watching television.
Every single thing.
Wow, I'm glad I went on that long-ass tirade. I just got, like, exhausted. any last parting TV wisdom, is I guess?
Oh, wisdom. You know, give me a TV show and...
What would your TV show be? We don't have to give me an actual, like, this. Like, if you could just be... Like, transport any sitcom to now, or, you know, like, would you truly want to be Mrs. Roper on the...
Well, I would, but I'd want to be Mrs. Roper who actually gets laid.
Yeah.
Because she didn't get laid. But some kind of hybrid, I guess maybe
I better get laid in my TV show.
Yeah. I guess I would want to, maybe I'd probably be like a Blanche Devereaux.
Yeah.
But in the 70s, I really like...
Not your age in the 70s, but the... You want it to be a period piece that takes place in the 70s.
Yeah, I want it to be a period piece that takes place in the 60s or 70s. And okay. I want to be like a horny older woman. Older being like 40s, 50s. I mean, I want a lot of other things. I just want to make that clear. But yeah, I mean, that would be before I die.
You just
set
back feminist. I just want to be a horny old woman.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, feminists are like, oh, well.
Yeah, no, like an empowered horny old woman. She chooses when she does it. But yeah, that would be, but what would my, I mean, it would be some kind of a hybrid. I mean, I still love, I know it doesn't really work today, but I do love classic sitcom format.
Right, yeah.
My brain thinks that way. Like, I'm not so much of a movie nerd. I watch a movie, I completely forget what it's about a day later.
Yeah.
It doesn't stick with me, but the half-hour scripted sitcom, classic, like, problem is solved, lesson is learned. I could, if someone asked me to write a whole series.
I feel like multicam just needs good people to do it to come back.
You
know what I mean?
I mostly think in single cam now. Like any script I've written has been single cam.
Yeah. But I bet you multicam can make a comeback if like people that aren't, you know, I think it maybe it just has a bad reputation because of Chuck Lorre, who makes a shit ton of television and it's all multicam. But I feel like there's good multicams in there somewhere.
Carmichael Show multicam?
Yes, and that's great. A great one, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a throwback, too, because they have, like, that big, like, 10-minute proscenium scene in every episode, like where they're just in the living room having a huge dialogue, yeah, which is like very old school. It's very All in the Family, yeah, in a good way. Yeah.
So I think if I had to put together a dream show like that, it would be about my it would be about a kid who eats like an antipasto plate in front of the TV, yeah, and the dad's like, hey,
that,
you know,
I would watch that show in a heartbeat. Yay. I would hope to play the plumber uncle who
yes.
comes by.
Oh, you got it.
Who's so mad that he's named Mario and an actual plumber.
Yeah, this is a verbal contract.
All right.
Okay.
I'll work non-union. I'll scab. I don't give a fuck. At this point, when that's taking off, I'll need all the help I can get. Julia, anything you want to plug? You have your own podcast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I have a podcast called Hopefully We Don't Break Up that I co-host with comedian Will Miles, who's the
aforementioned black boyfriend.
Yes, the token. I'm an activist.
This counts as me having a black guest, is having you on talking about Will.
Yeah, oh God, so many think pieces. And it's really fun. We talk to other couples about relationships, and sometimes it's comedians, sometimes it's not, but it's really cool. So I don't know when is this gonna come out?
In the next week or two.
Okay, so if you're in New York, we have a live show at Subculture on April 14th, and then I have a show once a month at Union Hall in New York, and sometimes traveling, called First Set, where we watch comedians' oldest stand-up footage.
Oh, geez.
Or acting footage or whatever, and it's really fun.
Oh, that's
so
awesome.
So listen, hopefully we don't break up. Come to First Set and follow me and all that.
Yeah,
what's
your Twitter handle? Because it's you're going to say it's Julia Rozzi, and everyone's going to be like, I know exactly how to spell that.
Yeah, I mean, it's but Julia with a G. If you just spell Julia however you think Julia with a G would be spelled, I'll be the first thing that comes. Yeah. I'm the only Julia with a G doing comedy. There you go.
It's close call.
There is a Julia with a G that did a Playboy shoot in like another country, and they linked it to my website, and I was like, I don't look like this blonde naked woman at all.
But leave it up. If I get hits, if I get a couple of Twitter followers at it, I'll take it.
Yeah.
As always, I'm at John Gabris, no H in John or Gabris. Tweet at Julia and I with what shows you guys grew up watching or that formed your childhood POV. As always, rate me 5 stars, roast me in the comments, I'll read them out loud. And guys, buy yourself a High and Mighty t-shirt at gabris.com/shirts. Wow, that was a real businessy. That's about as corporate minded as I get, but please buy some fucking shirts. I think I get $3 a shirt, so please buy 1,000 shirts. Julia, thank you so much
for
joining
me.
Bye, shitheads.
That was a HeadGum podcast.